Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael with the Faith and Freedom Show here on Frank Talk 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. So good to be back on this Saturday. I've got a co-host today, Stan Treleaven. You'll be hearing more about him and from him momentarily. Last week, we talked about Governor Crist deciding that nobody needed a license to do any fishing on the beach this weekend. And last weekend, of course, I was trying to find the authority. And somebody gave me some anecdotal evidence. They called me during the week and said, yeah, there's something that says he can do that kind of stuff, but we couldn't find it. What we try to do here, no matter what the issue is, we're going to try to talk about it from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. This was from the Florida Sun-Times. They said, expect to see more flashing lights on South Florida roads this weekend. So all of you going to South Florida, hundreds of additional deputies, police officers, state troopers will be on patrol looking for aggressive drivers and ticketing for other moving violations as a part of an annual traffic enforcement blitz. The operation dubbed Staying Alive on 95 and Florida's roadways began Friday night and runs through the weekend in Broward, Palm Beach, and Miami-Dade counties. The Dory Schlossberg Foundation, named after a Boca Raton teen who died in 1996 crash, in which she was not wearing a seatbelt, coordinated this Dory Schlossberg Foundation coordinated the blitz. Obviously, the goal is to get everybody to be paying attention to what they're doing and being careful out there. A lot of the bills that were passed in the recent assembly session, the recent legislative session, Governor Crist is kind of picking off, it seems, one at a time here. There's one that was mentioned, a school prayer bill. Many of you have been listening to the show. We're also aware of the thing that's been happening up in the Pensacola, Santa Rosa kind of area. Check this out. He signed a bill that prevents schools from infringing on First Amendment freedoms of teachers, staff, or students unless they sign a waiver. The legislation, House Bill 31, originally would have allowed prayers at non-compulsory school activities, including assemblies and sports events, at the request of majority of the students. The bill, which was watered down in its final form, was filed as a result of the American Civil Liberties Union obtaining a federal court-approved agreement from the Santa Rosa County School Board to stop public prayers at school events. And last point I want to make, judge ruled last September that a lunch prayer given by a school's athletic director didn't violate a federal court order against praying at school events. Many of you may remember there were people put in jail over that. Praying in public. Oh my goodness, the crimes that we have expect to see today. Okay, I'm going to go to my main part of our conversation today, and I've got with me Stan Treleaven. I've invited Stan because I think he ought to be carrying many, many hours on the radio. So he's going to be here with me today, Stan Treleaven, and he's formed an organization called the American Foundation. Welcome, Stan. And could you tell me and my audience, what is the American Foundation and your group? What do they do? What's the focus? What's the purpose?
The purpose of the group is, in fact, our mission is to understand and clarify the issues that divide America issue to the public and to our politicians and our pastors not only an understanding but a means of reacting to it. The American Family Foundation was formed. And the family, of course, we know is the backbone of America. It's the building block upon which our nation was built. And we believe that the Bible is the building block upon which the families were built. And so we have mission in life to clarify for the politicians, believe it or not, as well as our pastors. We have recognized, number one, that the issues that divide America. Here we are in a country that's falling apart, and the average person only understands maybe one or two effects of the real problem, and not the cause of the problem, just one or two of the effects. This is why we have, for example, the Tea Parties. The Tea Parties see the profligate spending of our government, and so they are headed over there. And then we have others who, for instance, get their focus in on abortion. Now, all of these are indeed problems, but they're primarily the effect of the major problem. And the issues that divide America, as I tell my pastor and others, are not political at all. There's nothing political in what is happening in America today except what's being made political by the ones who want it to be that way. The issues that divide America are all, well, I'll tell you what, let me read them first, and then you can determine whether I'm correct or not.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to put you on hold there just for a minute, Brother Stan. So the Family Foundation, no, I'm sorry, the American Foundation. The American Foundation primarily, your goal is to be essentially training, equipping, bringing things to light to whom?
Well, of course, to the public. We need the public to know. But primarily, we want to tell the politicians that what they're doing and what we want them to do is a spiritual issue as opposed to a political issue. That because the problems are have to do with morality and that they then need to be encouraging the input of Christian men and women, and primarily the pastors of churches who right now appear not to have a clue.
Okay, I want to go with that, just because obviously I've talked to you forever, many, many hours. With all these things, when you talk about bringing these ideas, you say they're spiritual. It's a moral problem. All the issues of the day that people are really bickering about, and we'll probably at the beginning of the next segment talk about something that's in the news that's a hot potato these days. But on all these issues, you say they're moral. And so you say you're going to, it's important to you to explain that to politicians that they would actually understand that they have to look at these things and deal with them on a moral basis. Most people, and I think you would agree with me, the vast majority of the public probably believes that a spiritual dimension or a biblical moral view ought to be excluded from public policy. What do you think? Do you think that's true, that people think that way generally?
Well, if you want a if you want a cataclysmic finality to the United States, well, you just follow that that lead. The problem. Well, let's look through the issues here. Abortion for any reason, embryonic stem cell research, income redistribution, divorce for any reason, hate crimes, profligate government debt, immoral and criminal government representatives, illegal immigration, homosexual rights. Now, there's about 20 or 30 others on issues on. They're all, every one of them, are moral. And again, what do the politicians do? They tell the pastors and they tell the Christians, no, you shouldn't be involved in this because this is political. And according to your 501c3 structure set up in the churches, then you shouldn't be involved in that. And of course, the pastors, on the other hand, appear to be glad that it's being called political because they don't then have to become involved either.
Now, it makes me think about people in government that have been elected. When they began to respond honestly to questions, I'll give you, you may have known this, back in your state in Virginia, there was one Delegate Marshall. He was asked some questions recently, and his response was one from a biblical frame of reference. And as soon as he did it, he basically got shot from every direction. One of the things we see in the recent news is Rand Paul answered a question based upon his perception and his understanding of what the Constitution says with regard to the civil rights statutes. And so he spoke something with substance, with a frame of reference that ultimately goes back to the Bible and structures of authority. He got shot from every which way. So, how do you think that needs to be dealt with?
Well, the way I would deal with that is, number one, enlist the pastors. The pastors can enlist, each of them, at least 200-plus people.
Okay.
And if we had, at any one of our polling stations, if we had, say there's 10 churches in your community, and each of them produced 200 people, we'd have a great involvement in our political system that we don't have now. And again, the major thing here is two things. Number one, get the pastors to understand that they have been equipped. This is what the Bible says the church was made for. It was equipped to bring people out of the world system, the political system, and send it back into the world as a spiritual group. And they are fully equipped to deal with these issues in the political system, and the pastors need to recognize that. And additionally, now the politicians need to recognize that what they're doing, they can't have any effect on spiritual issues. These guys need spiritual counseling themselves, most of them. And so we've got a government that's actually morally falling apart. And here they are dealing with the moral issues of our day, and they're going to, quote, fix them, unquote.
So obviously, we're going to, based on what you said, we're going to be able to forecast our future in America.
Absolutely.
If we do not deal with these issues from a what you would prefer, a biblical worldview, from a spiritual, moral, biblical basis, basically on the basis of the way the founders of our nation looked at things, we can forecast catastrophe, I guess, in every aspect of America. What kind of things can you think of that you see catastrophe because of this?
Well, you know, look at our bedrock society. I came to this country in 1950. In 1950, we had, as I remember, we had about 70% of people went to church. And then 20 years later, in 1970, excuse me, that was in 1950. In 1970, about 60% went to church. And then in 1990, about 55. And of course, in 2005, we're down into the 40s. That was if you go out another 20 years, you're going to be down in the 30s, and then another 10 years after that. And now that's just one direction for that's a direction to the poor. It's a direction toward a current destruction of the entity that upholds morality.
Okay.
Then you take the other one, a two-parent workforce. So that every household that had two parents working in 1950 was less than 4%. And then in 1970, it was somewhere around about 14%. And then in 1990, it was up to 45%. And then in 2005, it's up to 70%. Of course, that all for every choice, there's an effect. And we can see what the effect is. We're seeing it every day. Take a look at divorce.
Well, before you go there, we're going to have to take a break here shortly.
Okay.
I do want to make mention of that. The point that you made with a two-parent working two parents, and now there's not that many households that have two parents, but even the two-parent, how many parents are actually out of the house working all the time? It was around 4% back in 1950, up to 70% or more than that now.
Yes.
As I remember seeing or reading Karl Marx's description of what the family structure ought to be in this mass proletariat society, everybody becomes the worker, and it's an undermining of the American family, is something that was articulated by Marx as his vision of what utopia ought to be. Now, we're going to take a break, folks. I loved Jane Doe's show just before we came on here. She really has some good things to say. We're trying to approach these things for your education, for your encouragement, to equip you, to get you a perspective that's right. And I say, folks, if you abandon, ultimately, folks, I got to get right down to the truth. Jesus is the truth, okay? We abandon reading the Bible. We abandon submitting to the guidance of Jesus Christ. And you know what we're going to get? We're going to get catastrophe. And of course, we're going to remind you of that here on the Faith and Freedom Show. Are you willing to tackle these issues on that basis? You really go to task with us on that. Give us a call at 888-850-1872 after the break, and we'll return.